Father, we're so thankful that you're here, and knowing, as your scripture says, that as the days approach, it's important for us to come together more and more so. Believing, Father, that you have come down with a shout to get us ready for the voice of the resurrection. Help us, Father, to turn that corner when you turn it. And be with us tonight as we study the doctrine of Christ. And help us, Father, to lay aside everything that would so easily beset us, and enter fully into "Thus saith the Lord," for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the seventh attribute in our study of the doctrine of Christ, we find that Jesus prayed to his Father who is God. Now, there are no scriptures where it says that God prayed to God, or God prayed himself. For who would God pray to if God did pray? He's God. And why would he pray to a lesser being? But Scripture is full of places where Jesus, the Son of God, prayed to God his Father. And this evening we'll examine these Scriptures and what William Branham, vindicated prophet of God, had to say about them as well. We'll take the New Testament Gospels to show you not only the attitude that Jesus had toward prayer, but how he developed his relationship with his Father through the instrument we call prayer. To do so, we will take the Scriptures chronologically just to keep ourselves from duplicating our effort. And it'll be easier for you to follow along with me in your Bibles as well. So if we open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Because first, I would like to say this, that prayer will bring about change. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Now why I say prayer will bring about change is because you're not supposed to pray that, you know, God will wipe out your enemy. You're to ask God to change your enemy. Well, then why do we pray? There are several reasons why we pray. Number one is for supplication, which means to ask for humbly or earnestly, as by praying, to make a humble entreaty to, or to beseech, or to make a humble or earnest petition. Number two is to convey worship to God. Yes, Jesus prayed to his God, which means a God being an object of worship. Jesus conveyed worship on his Father. And number three, prayer is to give thanks to God for what he not only has done, but what he is going to do and what you're about to ask him to do. In Matthew 6 and verse 5 is the first place where we find Jesus praying in the New Testament. And I'd like to emphasize that the attribute we find in this scripture is that prayer should be in private. You know, we do have our church prayers and things like that, but your prayer between you and God should be a private occasion. In Matthew 6 and 5, he says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and in the corners and the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of for their much speaking." And the other thing is, the Bible says that all things that we do and all things that we say should be done in the name of Jesus. You know, I hear a lot of people when they pray, they say, "In your name, amen." Well, what name is that, Buddha? You know, who are you praying to? So we should always pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayer should be in private, but we should be expecting what we pray for in private to be seen openly. So pray in private. Number two, there's an order to how that we would pray, and we see in the next few verses, Matthew 6 and 8, He says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things that you have need of before you even ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray you." So Jesus here is telling us there is an order in how that we should pray. He says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." In other words, begin by acknowledging who it is that you're talking to. You know, it's not, "Hey, you." You know, it's "Dear Father, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus Christ." In other words, there must be an acknowledgement to who you're talking to. It is your approach that will bring the results. So your approach is the most important part of your prayer. He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven." So after our approach has been right, then we begin to make our requests. He said, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Notice, we're having a need of bread. We know that we're sinful people. We ask you to forgive our sins. And we ask that you would lead us, and not into temptation, but lead us into thy word, thy truth. So we're asking for direction. We're asking, we're petitioning. We're asking, this is the part where we come and we ask him. Then acknowledge God alone has the power to give us what we have asked for. Because he says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory." Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now then, here comes the catch. Verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." In other words, he's saying, don't ask for what you're not willing to give yourself. Don't be a hypocrite. And that's exactly what it says next. He says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly." And now Jesus shows us that those things which are eternal are far more to be sought for through our prayers than those things which are temporary, which we can acquire here on earth. Verse 19, he says, "Lay not up therefore yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where neither thieves do break in nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The next attribute we need to look at here, and these are all things that Jesus did, and so we should do the same, because he's our pattern. He's our example seed. In your prayer, be thankful. Too many people grouch. They grouch. They're not thankful. Prayer should be used to thank God for what he has already done for you and for what he will do for you in the future. We do not express our thanks enough to God, and it shows in our attitude when we get upset, when we see something not going the way that we would like them to go. You know, if the young kid wants to borrow dad, mom's keys, I don't think they're going to strike. I mean, I don't think they're going to hit the right chord if they come in and demand. And I don't think they're going to hit the right chord if they come in accusing and blasting and everything else. "Oh, by the way, I need the keys." You know, you need to use a little bit. What does the scripture say? A little honey, you know, is better than vinegar. Something like that. A little honey attracts more flies than vinegar. I don't know if that's a parable, but anyway, we know it's true. All right. So then we, Matthew again, chapter 14, verse 23, again, we find the scripture says to pray in private. "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." You know, too much of our prayer is so that the others can hear us pray, like we got some great thing to say. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not it. You know, our prayer should be humble and reverence and thanksgiving. And alone. Again, praying in private, Matthew 26:36. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." Then we find in Matthew 26:38-39, our prayer acknowledges who is in control. "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Other places he said, Father, I pray that you would deliver me from this. Even when he taught us to pray, he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Then we find prayer is a result of our watchfulness. In Matthew 26:41-43, he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time. He prayed again, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he then left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Again, his watchfulness. Because the things that you see, the things that are disturbing you, like the Brother Branham quotes many times about how the Spirit of God, or God commanded his angel to go and mark them that sighed and cried for the abomination done in the city. And then everyone else who didn't sigh and cry for the abomination done in the city, they were marked for death. So we realize then that prayer is a result of our watchfulness. It's a result of our condition. Are we sleeping? Are we slumbering, or are we aware? Are we awake? Are we watchful? Then we must pray with assurance. In Matthew 26, verse 53-54, he says, Thinkest thou not that I came, that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? In other words, he was very aware that whatsoever he asked, the Father would give it. Now, are you aware of that? Or do you just kind of hope so? You just kind of throwing your prayer up there like a straw in the wind, hoping that it catches, goes to the right place? So it wasn't the way Jesus was. He knew that there was such a love between him and the Father that whatsoever he would ask, the Father would give it to him. Again, we find praying in private in Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. In Mark 6:46, we see the same thing. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And again, it's a result of our watchfulness. We find in Mark 13:33, said, Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is come. Now, we mentioned that one of the three main attributes or reasons why we pray is to solicit from God our needs, our desires, making our desires known. In Mark 11:24, we read, Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You're not going to get them if you don't believe you're going to get them. You get what you're looking for, you get what you expect. So if you think, you know, if you say, well, I prayed, it's not doing me any good. It's because you're not praying with expectation. Because you don't believe. You say, well, how dare you say that? I'm telling you, it's because you don't believe that God's hearing you, and you don't believe that you have a good relationship, a good enough relationship with Him, that He would want to give you your heart's desire. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Not you might. Not there's a 50-50 chance or a 20-80 chance or whatever. No, you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So come with a repentant heart, come with a forgiving heart, and you're going to get your desires. Again, we see praying in private and praying for our needs. In Mark chapter 14, verse 32, And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground, and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away, and he prayed, and he spake the same words. Again in Luke 3:21, Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, then the heavens opened. Why? Because he was expecting it. Again, praying in private, Luke 5 and verse 3, And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust him out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and he prayed. Again in Luke 6 and 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all the night in prayer to God. Again, praying in private. Luke 9, verse 18, and it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" And it came to pass at about the eight days after these sayings, he took Peter and James and John up into the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. Again, going up to the mountain, getting away from the rush and the city, so to speak, the atmosphere, and getting alone. Again, making your desires known. In Luke 10, verse 2, he says, "Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Again, it's praying for a desire, a need. Well, prayer is a learned action. It's not something that comes natural to people. Remember, Brother Brown didn't even know how to pray, so he talked about the little boy that didn't know how to pray. So he wrote the alphabet, stuck it on a tree, and figured God could put together the words, the right words. You know, that's scriptural. It says, you know, when you have need, the Holy Spirit will be there to give you utterance. Well, in Luke 11, verse 1 to 13, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And he said unto them, "When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And he said unto them, "Which of you shall find a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. But I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is a friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh shall receive. He that seeketh shall find. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, which is, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" You know, Jesus also said, "You have not, because you ask not. Ask abundantly, that your joys might be full." I remember years ago, a brother said to me, he said, "You know, I don't like to bother God." He said, "You know, I just feel like my life is just so unimportant that, you know, I just don't ask God for much." I said, "Well, brother, you're wrong. I mean, you should ask God for everything. Everything." And I hate to get so graphic, but, you know, I won't. But you ask him for everything. You have needs, ask him for everything. Anytime you have trouble, whether it's in the body, in the soul, in your finances, whatever it is, you just go to God and you ask. And therefore, then we need to be dedicated in our prayer life. In Luke 18, verse 1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican." We know the story. The Pharisee said, "I'm sure glad I'm not like this guy." The other guy beat his chest and said, "God, forgive me. I'm a sinner." And Jesus said, "Who went away justified?" There's got to be a dedication to prayer. We find all of the early fathers, Daniel, the different ones, they threw back the windows three times a day and they prayed to God. The Muslims are more dedicated to prayer than the Christians are. And that's a shame on the Christians. You know, there should be prayer three times a day. There should be a coming to God. It should be actually, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. It shouldn't be just three times a day. It should be without ceasing. Because you can't pray enough. In Luke 21:36, it says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand in the presence of the Son of Man." from why it's so hard to live a Christian life, Brother Branham said. And we're thankful that you're out here this afternoon, and we feel that somehow we just can't get enough of God. And there's something about the gospel and the word of God that we just simply can't get enough of. You might eat too much sometimes. You might drink enough good cold water to make you sick. But I don't believe that a man could ever pray too much or get too much of the love of God in his heart. That's just one thing that it just doesn't seem to ever get enough of, to fill it up. And I'm taught that when we eat, if we're used to eating small portions, our stomach shrinks to that portion. Now listen to what he's saying here. And if we eat much, our stomach stretches to that. And I think we need some spiritual stretching to get much of the word, as much of the word that we can get. Can't be satisfied with just reading a little verse once in a while or something on that matter, but stretching our spiritual gastronomics. Amen? He that hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall what? Shall be filled. Amen. All right. Then one thing about prayer is that we can pray for faith. That's revelation. In Luke 22, verse 32, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And when he was at the place, he said unto them, "Pray that you enter not into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and he prayed. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And he said unto them, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye be entered into temptation." Jesus was so fervent in his prayer. What's that? Emotion. So fervent in his prayer that he sweat drops of blood. That's pressure coming through the pores to force blood out of the cells, out of the blood, out of the vessels, through the pores of the skin. That's a lot of pressure. Have you ever prayed so hard that you had to throw up? Prayed so hard that your eyes, you couldn't hardly shut them? Well, we need to pray to make your desires known. John 14, verse 13 to 18. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do." Not I might, that I will do. "That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name," anything. You all have something special that you'd like, that you really desire from the Lord? Ask it in his name. And I will do it. "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Again, praying to make your desires known, John 16:26, "At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am coming into the world again. Again I leave the world to go to the Father." His disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Jesus answering them said, "Do you not believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." From where I think Pentecost failed, Brother Brown said, and God will never, you can never exhaust God's love and his mercy to you. You say, "Well, I hate to bother you so much, Father." He wants to be bothered that way, he does. Don't never think that you could ever ask too much of God. I believe the scripture said, "Ye have not because you ask not, and you ask not because you believe not." He wants us to ask and believe that our joys would be full. He wants you to ask abundantly. Ask for big things. Don't limit your faith to some little mustard seed. Get out here to some kind of faith and move out in big things. Ask big things. It's just as easy to receive as little things. You just have to believe, that's all. And you got faith, just know exactly how to use it, and it'll be all right. You can put it right to work, and it'll just be fine. So the bigger the problem, the bigger the issue, the bigger you want to ask. From James 1:5-8, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I remember Brother Ungren years ago, he was testifying how they were out in a boat and the waves came up and it was getting very, very, you know, big, and they were getting very scared. And they were looking, you know, they're crying out to God, and his wife, she grabbed a hold of her hair, she held it out, and she said, God, she said, I have kept this hair long because your word says it, and because I love you. And they said then the storm subsided and everything was okay. They came out all right. So, you know, just when you go to God, just make sure that when you go to God and you request of him, talk to him. You know, Abraham negotiated with God. Isn't that right? He said, if there be 10, if there be 5, if there be 3, if there be 1, if there be 50. From Elisha and Elijah, Elijah and Elisha, Brother Addison, now when they got down to Jordan, time to cross over, he made the way. Then when he crossed over the stage of the Holy Ghost Church, said, now I want to ask you something. So what do you want? He said, that a double portion of your spirit come upon me. That's the way to ask for it. Don't be scared. Ask for the whole lot. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. You ask not because you believe not. Ask abundantly that your joys may be full. Ask a whole lot. God, just don't make me a little bit better. Make me all the way better. Don't just let me have enough religion to make myself miserable. Kill me out to sin that I can live in Christ Jesus. And from what it takes to overcome all unbelief, Brother Ram says, some people think, oh, I hate to call on God so much. That's what he wants you to do. You have not because you ask not. You ask not because you believe not. Ask abundantly that your joys might be full. That's what God wants. Ask big things. I'm asking for hundreds of souls in this meeting. I'm asking for every sick person. That door will go out of here well. I'm believing it. I'm believing that till we go, that this won't be another gathering together, but it'll be a revival in Yakima here. Satan kept me out of here long enough, and I believe the hour is here for a real sweeping revival in every church around the country. Brother Branham, believe for the impossible. And the Bible says, with God all things are possible. From God commissioning Moses, the prophet, he said, when they crossed over, got over on the other side, he said, now you've asked, ask what you will, and I will give it to you. Perfect type of the church, all right? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. Amen. Don't be scared to ask. Ask abundantly. You have not because you ask not. You ask not because you believe not. That's right. Ask a whole lot. God will give you a whole lot. Have a lot of faith. A fellow told me the other day, he said he was riding in an old Model T Ford yet. And he said one day he happened to get some good faith and God gave him a Buick. Said, I got a Buick faith now and I'm praying for Cadillac faith. All right? That's good. That's right. Keep on. What you believe on, hold on to it. God will give it. He's got Ford faith, so just stay with the Ford then. That's all right. And so let's get a little more faith. All right? So you got Volkswagen faith or you got Cadillac faith? Huh? I like that. From all the days of our lives, so whatever you have need of, just ask. Ask abundantly that your joy might be full. That your joy might be full. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. As Brother Bosworth said, I used to get so excited when I got invited to go someplace because I had no money to go. And he said, I just knew by the time I got to the train station with my bags packed that somewhere along the way, either I'd find the money or someone would come up and donate some money to me to go. And he went by faith and he said, and God never failed him. When you go to prayer, go to pray, do you believe God's going to fail you? That hasn't happened yet. Now that's the difference between Sarah and Abraham. Brother Bram said, Abraham said, hey, another year went by, glory to God, it's got to be coming down sooner now. Whereas Sarah said, you know what, I don't think God's going to do it. Take Hagar. Have your child through Hagar. What are you, a Hagar or a Sarah? Abraham or Sarah? Huh? Are you going to push it off? Well, it's going to be done. It's got to be done some way that we can physically get it done. Or do we believe that God can intercede and God can do it? Amen? And pray for others. How many times, every place Jesus went, he was praying for the sick, praying for this one, praying for that one. Eternal life is about others. In John 17:1-9, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto men, which thou gavest me out of this world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given to me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I prayed for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And then pray for intervention or prevention. In verse 13 to 18 says, And now come I to thee, and these things that I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them because of it, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but I pray that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I send them into the world. And again, praying for others. He said, And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gave me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Father, will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will again declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And then pray with emotion. Let God know that you really mean it. Hebrews 5:7-8 says, Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus prayed drops of blood. Jesus prayed with crying and tears. Use the emotion. How many times does the wife get what she wants because of tears? Well, use them when you go to God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we know so many different scriptures. The parable of the unjust judge. The inopportune friend. Where the woman came to the judge and she cried and cried and cried and cried and cried until he gave her demand. With a friend who, not because he was a friend, but because of his inopportunity. And he knocked and knocked on the door until they gave him what they asked. Father, we just pray that you would help us, Lord, to learn to pray. Not to be a defeatist. But if we have a desire, and that desire is biblical, that desire is righteous, that desire is right, then help us, Father, to press and press and press and press until that desire becomes manifested in our dimensions. And this we pray, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Help us to be mature to the place, Father, where we can have confidence and boldness to enter into thy throne of mercy. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord
bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee.